Welcome to the Team EF Coaching Performance Podcast, where we take information from the highest level of sport and make it accessible for all cyclists. I'm your host, Zach Morris, and in this episode, I'm sitting down with the chef of EF Pro Cycling, Owen Blandy. Owen, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Zach. It's great to be here.
So we're here, we're filming a bunch of episodes, if you guys are listening to these episodes back to back, filming a bunch of episodes at the EF Pro Camp, which for us on the coaching side of things was an extension of a coaching experience team camp that we provided for a lot of our athletes, where we brought people out here, took them basically through a week-long training camp of their own, and then spent a couple of days here with the pro riders. So I think you actually got to meet a few of the guys here, right?
Yeah, I've been here a week now. It was cool to meet the guys who came out here, and they've had a great experience from my side. You know, they've been behind the scenes of a cycling team, and it's not just, this is more than at a race. You know, there's 100 people here. Normally there's 3 mechanics and 4 soigneurs and 8 riders, but they've had access to every single member of the team. So it seems like a really unique experience for them.
Yeah, it was very special. And one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show, Owen, is because, you know, when we look at the construction of the team, you're actually one of the people involved that lives quite a unique experience amongst, you know, the entire group. You're one of the people that attends pretty much all the Grand Tours. Mm-hmm. You interact with all of the riders on such a personal level, mm-hmm. because you control their food.
Yeah.
Right? So I haven't had a chance to really connect with you and chat with you about many different things, but I'd imagine you just got a really unique perspective on the way the sport works on so many different levels. And hopefully we can get into unpacking some of that today. But before we get down there, could you just share a little bit of a background on kind of who you are and mm-hmm. how you got into eventually working for EF Pro Cycling?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in London, loved sport from an early age, was always into playing football and rugby specifically. And then I discovered cycling kind of later in my life, as most people do. A lot of people, you know, discover it in their mid-20s. And I just fell in love with it as soon as I started riding. I gave up any other sport, and like cycling was the sport for me, any sort of road biking, mountain biking, bike packing. And that led me down the path of racing. And I was in, you know, road racing, fixed gear, crit racing.
You got into the fixie scene, the whole Red Hook thing, right?
Yeah, I basically kind of managed the team for about 4 years, really? Did all the sponsorship, did everything. You know, we were traveling New York, Milan, Barcelona.
Which team was that?
It's called East London Fixed, through a London team. And it was just, yeah, a world of fun, basically. So cool. I guess that was my first insight into professional or semi-professional sport. And I was, at the time, working in finance, actually, as an investment accountant. And I was very unfulfilled. It was a good day-to-day job, and I was paid well, but I was basically getting my kicks outside of work. So I was racing bikes in the evening and training in the morning, and, you know, I wasn't really getting the most out of my job, and I was quite unfulfilled. So in the pandemic, actually, I quit and left to pursue a career in cooking, which I'd already dabbled in my early 20s. I'd worked in various restaurants in London and worked my way up to a really famous steak restaurant in London.
I love a good steak.
It's called Hawksmoor. It's one of the best in London. Very good. And I worked there for quite a while. But I just found that I wanted more connection with the people I was serving. You know, when you're in a restaurant, you're kind of at the back, you're kind of downstairs. You prepare the food, or you prepare one side of the food, and then it goes to the pass, and then you don't see it again. And mm-hmm. you don't know if the user, the final end product, if they've enjoyed it.
Right.
So, I mean, fast forward a few years, I'm very good friends with Will, the nutritionist, who right. I believe...
He was on the show.
Yeah, he's been on the show. And we've done some work together for his PhD, actually. So we've known each other about 5 years. And he gave me the opportunity to start working at EF.
Okay.
So I took my knowledge from cycling, from the restaurant, the chefing world, and I studied sports science at university. So, you know, I had those 3 pillars, which kind of gave me insight. And I mean, I was still very nervous as I started. You know, there was no handover. It was COVID. Everyone was sitting 2 meters away.
Right.
I was in Heathrow Airport with a bunch of forms, you know, declaring that I could travel. And then I just got thrust in Paris-Nice 2021. And it was go from there, basically.
Straight into the kitchen.
Straight into the, yeah, into, did I have the food truck? No, I was cooking out the kitchens in the hotel kitchens. So just providing what I could basically. And I picked it up pretty quick. And I was, what I really love about the job is that connection with the end user. The end user being the athlete. You know, the ability to talk to them about the food, get requests from them, plan ahead, and actually see the results come to fruition. You know, you see what you're putting in, you see the effort that the riders perform, and, you know, they get results. Like, there's nothing better than that.
I was not prepared for this story. Like, I was an investment banker and then I became a chef. I've never met anybody who's made that transition before. I mean, in a lot of ways, I have to give you a ton of respect, because I think, you know, when we look at, you know, the way people live their lives today, a lot of people on the planet live very unfulfilled lives, right?
For sure.
They're just chasing the paycheck, and, you know, everybody makes their own decisions, and we respect all walks of lives, but it takes a lot of courage to be put yourself in a vulnerable position like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, courage is like really the foundation of growth.
Mm.
And so I think that, you know, you learned a lot about yourself, obviously, in that process. And you're doing something you're really passionate about now. So, I mean, how much does it really mean to you to see these guys performing well at these races and actually knowing that you're a part of that, because you're preparing? It's like you literally are putting the fuel in their cars that make them drive. Yeah. So how does that feel?
I mean, I always wanted to be a professional athlete. You know, I wanted to be a professional footballer. And then I got into cycling and I was like, I want to do this. But I knew I was too late and I knew I wouldn't make it. This is the nearest thing I think I'll ever get to being in that, you know. And I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm quite an emotional person, but there's no feeling like a win. There really isn't. Like, there's no other job where on a random Wednesday, every single team member will be like screaming at a TV or like all huddled around and then like instantaneously erupt in joy and start hugging everyone. Like, that doesn't happen in many workplaces. It's just on a random weekday.
You know what's funny is like those things that you guys are feeling on the ground, that like carries all the way into our Zoom meetings where we've got people from like 8 countries on one call and we're all like, okay, 3K to go. Everybody pause. We'll resume this meeting in like 10 minutes. And when we win, it's like the Zoom meeting erupts and it's all great. And then you have a hard time focusing on the things you were trying to talk about for a few minutes. But it's just that thing that you share so closely on the ground is actually something that's kind of extended throughout the entire, you know, I think, I don't know, 53,000 person employee company of EF, definitely for us on our side, but I'd imagine many people in the office are cycling fans as well. So it's amazing.
It really is. And you know that every part of that team, from everyone on the ground to everyone who isn't at that race to everyone in the wider EF world, like everyone cares about it and everyone is behind the team. And it's a magical thing to be a part of. It really is.
So I think we should talk a little bit about some of your secrets.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
What do you do to save yourself some time in the kitchen? Because I think for a lot of the people listening to this podcast, they want to eat really good,
mm-hmm.
but they struggle with the amount of time that goes into preparing their meals.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your secrets to make that process a little bit more streamlined?
I would say, I mean, plan ahead for sure. You know, if you're making a meal every day, that's like 45 minutes or half an hour, you can easily meal prep. You know, you can easily cook for 1 hour on a Sunday and you'll provide yourself with 3 or 4 meals for the rest of the week. You know, whether that's really good soup or like a really nice stew or like a bigger dish like a lasagna or a cottage pie or something that you can balance because you know what's going in it, you know, nutritionally and based on your budget. But I would always plan ahead. That's what I do when I'm on the road. I'm thinking 2 days ahead. You know, what have I got to get for that day? Where have I got to source this ingredient for? It's an age old secret, but just keep it simple, especially with sports nutrition.
So what would be your go-to thing to meal prep? And how would I go about setting that up?
I would say pick a cuisine. So pick something, you know, whether you like Italian food or maybe you like sort of Asian food or Indian food. Pick a cuisine and try and base a week of meals off that. And maybe pick two or three dishes that you can batch cook. You know, you can cook a larger amount of a chicken curry, for example. You know, really, you can go bold on the spicing. You can go light on the spicing. Get some really good chicken thighs and just cook a batch of that. And then you can pair that with, you know, baked sweet potatoes, portion of rice, you know, some bread, some naan bread. But if you cook up a big, like, portion of something like that, then you'll not only have it to look forward to when you've been out for a long ride, but you won't have that drama of waiting to eat, which often in that hour period you get home, you know, you got that hunger gap and you're like snacking because you don't have something to fulfill you. If you've already got it there, even frozen, you know, frozen freezers are a great invention. They keep food fresh. Like, it's very easy to use, and just whip it out and then get your nutritious meal when you need it.
So do you do any meal prepping on the team, or do you do everything kind of from scratch on a daily basis?
I mean, there's ways in restaurant and cooking sort of techniques which you can prep for multiple meals. So let's say you're roasting veg, you're roasting peppers, onions, aubergines. You can roast a whole batch of that and keep that in a Tupperware, and you could use it for various dishes. So there's things like that. But with the team, I cook most things fresh because at the end of the day, we're doing quite simple food.
Right.
It's high carb, low fat, high protein, the three macros that we focus on. And when I'm cooking, I keep it as simple as possible and let the rider, I give them the chili sauce, I give them the parmesan, right, the extra salt, the extra pepper, because sometimes they really do just want a big bowl of pasta. They want it plain with grilled chicken on the side, light salad, maybe some lightly roasted veg, but you know, they're ticking a box. The days are very long and they're very strenuous. You know, they might not actually get down to the dining room till 9 p.m. some days, 9:30, even 10 o'clock in the Vuelta. So right, by that time, they're just wanting to get the fuel in.
So let's talk about that simple meal composition, because I think, you know, for a lot of people out there, some people really like to have ultra delicious and flavorful meals all the times, but I think there are some listeners out there who might just be taking the box.
Mm.
So what does that meal composition actually look like?
I mean, we could start with the post-race meal,
sure,
which is something that they will eat as soon as they get on the bus. They'll likely have a source of carbohydrate, which will be sometimes cherry juice or cranberry juice or even Haribo, some sort of quick high GI food. And then they'll have their showers and do their press and their media, and they'll sit on the bus and they'll have basically a Tupperware, a lunchbox,
because
they've got a 2-hour transfer. That meal is probably the most simple meal that I would do. So it's usually a portion of rice, about 300 grams cooked rice, maybe 320, 350. So it's near enough 80 to 90 grams of carbs.
Nice.
And then a chicken breast, you know, sliced, very simple. Maybe
how many ounces roughly?
Ounces is 28
or grams.
Yeah, probably about 200 grams of chicken, maybe 250. So that's about 10 ounce.
Yep.
Eight to ten ounce. Yeah.
Eight.
And that's just, yeah, it's very simple. You know, get your rice cooker.
It's a relatively high protein meal.
Yeah, you want 20 to 30 grams of protein, yep, straight after exercise. Some of them might not feel like eating. Mm-hmm. So they might go for a bowl of cereal. It might go for a protein shake. It's whatever they can stomach. At the end of the day, the food, it can weigh exactly what it needs to be, but if they don't want to eat it, then it will go in the bin. So it has to not only tick the box, but actually be palatable for them at that time.
Right.
And I know from experience that they sometimes don't want a heavily spiced dish or, you know, something which is more complicated, which they can't see what it is. They want simple.
Right. So what comes after that? What do they eat after that?
So, I mean, the bus is full of snacks, as you've seen. You know, they'll keep themselves fueled for the transfer back to the hotel. And then they get to the hotel and they'll have a massage and see the doctor, the chiropractor, anything else they need to do. And then dinner will be 9 p.m., maybe 9:30. And that's when they have a chance. This is the real intimate moment I have, because they'll come down to dinner and it'll just be me and them in a dining room. And I lay out the food buffet style, and we have scales on the table so they can weigh out the exact portion they need.
How important is weighing food for these guys?
There's no doubt it's important, for sure. Some of them focus on it more than others.
Okay.
So some of them will weigh out every single thing.
And is it more on the side of like making sure that I get enough, or is it on the side of making sure I don't overeat because there's a big mountain stage coming tomorrow? Why are we weighing food?
Yeah, probably the overeating, I'd imagine.
Okay.
But then equally, some things, you know, they just don't weigh because you kind of know what it is. You know, it's mostly weighing out on a portion of carbs, I'd say.
Okay. That's
because they don't want to overeat on that and they don't want to undereat. It's really rider dependent. And I find that some riders, the riders who are more relaxed seem to just flow through, you know. They kind of know, they know the structure of the team, they know the circus that goes on, and they kind of just eat what's given to them, you know, and it seems to work better. Like sometimes riders who are more particular and they demand more or they have more requests, it's like maybe it's kind of a lot you're thinking about there and maybe overthinking the situation. So maybe that can extend to, you know, members of the general public in that don't try to overthink things. Just keep it as simple as possible. At the end of the day, if you're really fueling for performance, just keep it simple. Because you're not going out for dinner. If you're going out for dinner, then go and order whatever you want. You know, have that cheat day. Enjoy that day. But day to day, just keep the macros simple and get the fuel you need.
Yeah, I think that does resonate with a lot of people out there, right? Don't overcomplicate it. Just make sure you hit those macros.
Mm.
And I mean, we deal with both sides of the spectrum, right? Where we're definitely helping people optimize body composition in terms of, you know, trimming off some fat and losing some weight and helping them go faster up climbs that way. But also on the other end of the spectrum, where we're making sure that they're actually eating enough, that problem is actually more common than you might think. Just people thinking, I need to be super skinny to race a bike and I'm going to undercut every meal. And working your way out of that deficit is tough.
Yeah, it is. It's tricky. People put a lot of pressure on themselves and to really eat the right thing. You know, for example, these guys, they barely really eat vegetables.
Like,
they will take supplements, but they will have light salads and things. But other than that, you know, they want real low fiber diets.
Well, the nutrition you're eating on the bike, especially, like, when you just look at how many calories you're putting in your body, like, it gets hard to break down more food. And the salad doesn't, sometimes, in my experience anyways, and I think we all have our own personal journeys with nutrition, but yeah, when you're training hard, sometimes it's hard to eat those really fibrous vegetables that kind of take a lot of energy to break down.
And for sure, they're good for you in a lifestyle, you know, in a whole year of nutrition. But for a week or a couple of weeks, a race, yeah, I'm not sure they're that useful, really.
Right. So what can an athlete do to easily kind of get an idea of what an optimized day might look like in terms of meal composition? How can I easily kind of look at my day, plan my day out with my meals, and make it easy for myself to just get those key meals in?
Okay, so let's do an example. I guess someone who maybe has an office job.
Sure.
Let's say. And so maybe they're out early in the morning, out for 2 hours in the morning.
Sure.
To get that pre-work ride in. I would say for something like that, you could probably go fasted, I guess. Maybe take a banana or two on the ride. Maybe have an espresso before you go. So you do your 2 hour ride, you get to work. I'd say the most efficient way of getting fuel in straight away would probably be a smoothie.
Right.
Probably a couple of scoops of protein, chuck some oats in there, banana, yogurt.
I love that shake. I'm making that all the time.
You're kind of having like a porridge or yep. overnight oats, but in a shake.
You could take it in the car, on the way to work, on exactly. the train, wherever you're heading out to.
And because it's so blended, it's almost like half digested already. Yep. So you just like straight in the system. Yeah, and then I guess, you know, meal prep is great. You know, if you can cook a bunch of chicken breasts, or you can bake some sweet potatoes at the beginning of the week, or even potatoes, you know, package that up and make yourself a lunchbox and get that carbohydrate you need, you know, and then get a nice chicken breast, get some tuna fish, maybe some avocado, nice fresh salad, cucumbers, tomatoes, onions. And I would portion your food out like that for lunch. And then you can really control it. Lunch for most people in an office would be sitting at their desk, and you know, you don't have that much time. So you can kind of just like focus on that. And then maybe in the evening you go for your ride. Maybe you're out with your friends at the park for a couple hours. Again, mid afternoon, you're probably looking at some toast and jam, or some banana, or another like bowl of cereal, things like that, maybe more coffee. And then in the evening you can have your real refueling meal. So you get your, you know, even something as spaghetti bolognese, simple. Like, it's actually a really nutritious meal. It seems like such a basic thing.
And delicious.
Delicious. Everyone kind of knows how to make one. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you know, you get a whole load of ground beef in there. That's loads of protein. Get your tomatoes, good for inflammation, and then you got a whole portion of carbs with you.
So a question on the red meat.
Mm-hmm.
We hear often that athletes during races only eat red meat before rest days.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? And is that something that happens on our team?
It does happen on our team. Very, yeah. I mean, I actually served them brisola, and I did question this.
What is that?
It's like prosciutto, so it's like ham, oh, okay. But it's beef ham.
Delicious.
Yeah, but it is beef. It is red meat, but you're getting such wafer-thin amounts. I did question that to Will. I was like, halfway through, I was like, we are serving them red meat every other day in the form of a salad and a light sort of charcuterie.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, oh, it's so small, it doesn't make a difference, and it's so thin. But that's on a tangent. But going back to, yeah, the red meat, yeah, it sits a bit heavy in the gut. And I mean, JV has a different view on it himself. You'll have to speak to him, but he's a real advocate of red meat, and he's a real believer that it helps with red blood cell and oxygen delivery.
I'm on that side of the spectrum as well.
Yeah, personally. I mean, but maybe, you know, racing for 6 hours with 200 grams of red meat in your stomach might be different. I don't know.
Well, I don't think you'd use it as a pre-race meal.
No, but well, you might have it the night before, you know. Yeah, but we only serve it on the day before a rest day, actually, because if you served it on a rest day, they'd be racing the next day,
right?
Which is really unfortunate this year, because in the Giro they were traveling from Hungary to Sicily, and they missed the dinner because it was so late. So they actually didn't get their like nice rest day dinner. Same as the Tour de France was Denmark. We're to Calais. And yeah, it was like 11 o'clock before they arrived.
The transfers were kind of brutal this year.
They really were.
Right?
They really were. And it really is because the rest day, they kind of have a lot of commitment, and they're not racing, but they're doing other things. And so to get that meal the night before, where like it's kind of a cheat meal, you know, get some red meat, maybe I make them a healthy cheesecake or an apple pie, or you know, something which tastes like home. And sometimes they missed out on it this year, and it's that, maybe that little bit of like morale, a little bit of sort of leveling food. So it's unfortunate, but it's the way the sport's going.
What are your favorite snacks?
Good question. I mean, I'm a big believer in like trail mix. I love that sort of thing. When I'm driving on the road, I'll have a big bag of nuts and dried fruit, and fruit in general. I think it's a good snack. Yogurts as well, high protein yogurts. I tend to eat a lot of them.
And like Greek yogurt.
Yeah, you want something with at least sort of 10 grams per 100 of protein.
A little bit of trail mix on top.
Yeah, a little bit, bit of honey as well. Nice high GI. We have a whole food room, as you may have seen, for the riders, where they have a choice of everything, and that's available to them 24 hours a day. There's yogurts in there. There's cereals, rice cakes, fruit, berries, all sorts.
Would you say that there are any foods to avoid during riding? Before riding, sorry?
It's very dependent on the rider and the user, but probably spicy food, maybe not too much chili. Not, you know, it can be an irritant. High fiber again. So, you know, heavy green vegetables and brown wholemeal, you know, rice, pasta, bread. It can cause fiber buildup, which can cause water retention. But I mean, anything that you're not used to, really, you know, you can train your gut to pretty much take in anything. So I would say don't eat things that you are not eating before. Fermented foods as well, they're very good for the gut. The kombuchas, the sauerkrauts and kefir, really nice tasting products, but they can lead to excess gas and potential GI issues.
Right. So here's one that you might be really good at answering. As you can imagine, we have a lot of athletes that travel a lot, right? And I'm talking airplanes, 2 or 3 days here. They take their bike with them, work out wherever they can, another couple of days over here, and then they go home for like the weekend. And they're kind of traveling around, trying to maintain their fitness and balance it all. But meal prepping for those people it's a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. So having worked in the restaurants and working for a pro cycling team, what's your take on kind of like trying to manage it around being on the go and having to use things like restaurants for food sources?
To take food with you as well. I think it's difficult because with security as well in airlines, like, you know, if you wanted to take overnight oats for an early flight, let's say.
You can't take it on the plane.
I actually did recently and I got through the security. It was like, I had a tub of yogurt. I was like, no, it's just yogurt. Don't worry. And they let me through.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're gambling. You are gambling.
Yeah. Maybe cook some grain, some quinoa, some rice. Make a salad. Make an all-in-one. You know, you can chop up some ham or some bresaola or even tuna fish. So get some protein in there. Get a good portion of the rice, quinoa, bulgur wheat, couscous, however you like. Get, you know, chop up that ham, chop up bresaola, get in there, get some fresh herbs in there, some lemon. So you're making an all-in-one meal, you know, a mixed salad that you can just stick in a Tupperware. It's no problem going to be getting it through security. It doesn't need microwaving. Get some nice, you know, chopped salad in there as well. And then you get your trail mix, your whatever you want, energy protein bar on the side.
What if I have to eat at a restaurant? How do I make that decision?
Don't be too hard on yourself. You know, you can't be perfect. Humans aren't perfect. There's always a choice on there that will satisfy what you need, will taste good and be nutritionally, you know, available for you. But if there isn't, you know, one meal is not going to wreck a training plan. It'll be better for your mental health and your well-being to not stress over that decision, to just accept it and just take the meal as what it is.
What are some of the biggest diet mistakes that you see people making?
I mean, I haven't worked with that many people with diets, so that's a good question. Probably not eating enough on the bike. I see this quite a lot. People thinking that the fitter they get, the more efficient they are on the bike. And then you tend to, you know, maybe eat one bar an hour, so 30 grams an hour, where you should be having 60 to 90, depending on your duration of activity. And then that feeling of getting home, of like being satisfied, fulfilled from the ride, but then actually just going on a binge and just like opening every cupboard. And I've definitely done it before, and it's very easy to, you're flying on the road and you don't feel like you're eating.
I've never done that.
Yeah. Just like make a mound of food and just like plow through it.
Bag of chips, bag of nuts.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
And before you know it, you've eaten more than you would have if you just fueled on the bike.
Absolutely.
I guess to tell inexperienced riders, if you're an experienced rider and you're riding with someone who's not as experienced, just to really try and convince them to eat and drink as much as possible.
So you know what's interesting about that is we definitely see that at the amateur level, where riders are going out not fueling enough during their ride. And when we get them to track all their nutrition on chronometer, it's obvious, right?
Mm.
But it's also something that exists at the pro level.
Mm.
So it really is one of like the, I call it like the lowest hanging fruit, right? When you look at easy ways to improve your overall performance, and not just your overall performance, but how you feel on a daily basis, like eating enough while you're riding makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it really does. And I really believe you should kind of almost buddy up, you know, if you're with someone, just eat at the same time together, you know, keep eating, keep fueling throughout that ride.
Well, I was having a conversation with one of our coaches just last night, actually. Mm-hmm. And we have a client in the business, and we're really struggling to get that person to eat enough during their training, and they're super fit. Mm-hmm. And actually the number one thing that person needs to prioritize right now isn't building threshold, isn't, you know, building some of the other more common abilities that we work on with people. It's eating during rides. And so now their workouts are becoming about fueling, right? So the whole workout now is trying to teach that person how to eat enough while they're training. And I mean, this is the first time we've had to do something like that, but I think, I'm hoping that, you know, we can overcome that bridge, because if you overcome that with somebody who's constantly under fueling, the rate of performance that you'll gain will be massive.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I'd say using mix, you can get up to 60 grams of carbs in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's probably the most efficient way to really start getting someone to refuel more. You know, you could eat a bar and have a whole bead on in an hour, and that's 90 grams.
Right.
So I would make sure that people have, you know, a mix in the bottle for sure. Because if it, you take away that process of picking out your pocket, unwrapping, which some people aren't as confident handling. So, you know, those things are difficult. They feel like they have to stop and then eat. But if you just got the sugar, the carbs in the bottle, then it's proven, you know, that's an easy way to take in food while you're riding.
Definitely. So Owen, what are you most excited about for this upcoming season?
I'm actually stoked for this season. I really am. Like, this is my third year with the team. First year, very much learning through COVID and, you know, really apprehensive and aiming to like really fit in and make a mark. Second year, kind of refining that process. And now I want to go further and I want to sacrifice my complete year for the team. And I can't wait to see where we're going, because I feel like last year we had a lot of ins and outs, the riders. I think there was 10 or 12 people in and out. This year is much more stable. So it feels like the team has kind of got through the, you know, the relegation battle and the COVID years. And like, this year is like a clean slate with a really strong team. I think really good units, like nice pockets of riders in different areas of the world.
It'll be a whole nother level of pressure for you if all things align. And we have a designated leader at the Tour de France and Carapaz and the support team around him that we're looking at having around him. I mean, we might actually have a shot of winning the Tour de France this year. So how are you seeing that situation?
I love the pressure. I really do. Like, I thrive off that. And like, I love that in this team, there is no space for slacking. Every single team member fulfills their role to the maximum. And there's so much to do that everyone has to pull together. It's a real team effort from every single staff member to all the riders. And that is the only way you're going to have success in a Grand Tour. And I really think that this year we have a strong outfit from every single member of the team, which is proven to be here on this training camp. Like, it's a real strong unit. And yeah, I'm super excited. Can't wait to get goosebumps in my kitchen truck when I'm watching the race, waiting for the guys to return home.
Do you have your calendar yet this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my program.
Are you going to be at Strade Bianche?
I'm not, actually. No, I'm in Paris-Nice and Catalunya at that time.
Okay, Catalunya is a great race. We were there last year with our coaching group for a camp.
Okay.
We went and then did our training camp, and then similar, we met up with the pro guys on the last day.
Nice.
What about Tour of Flanders or Paris-Roubaix?
I was scheduled for Roubaix, but I have a personal family commitment.
Okay.
I have a wedding. But the Ardennes and then the Giro, Dauphiné, Swiss, the other Grand Tours.
Okay. So how do you feel about the Giro this year?
The Giro is the most beautiful race. It's really difficult to pick the three Grand Tours, which one you'd prefer. The Giro is no doubt the most beautiful. The scenery, I think, is the best. The food is amazing. We go to hotels where, you know, the owners come out and bring out produce to me and they just give it to me. They're like honored to have the team. So they're just like, please use this stuff. Like, wow. It's amazing. It's such an experience. So I love that race. And, you know, being in the spring, it's like the opener for the summer racing. Yeah, I really look forward to it.
And when you say that the Giro is the most beautiful race, how do you see the Tour de France?
I mean, it's the pinnacle, you know. It's the top of the tree. Like, there's no bigger event in cycling. If you ask any person who doesn't know about cycling, that's what they'll say. You know, they're like, oh, you work for a cycling team. Do you race the Tour de France?
Right.
Simple as that. Like, it's the number one. But it's also, it's a stressful environment, but I actually think it's in some way the easiest one to work because it's so organized and there's so many people involved, from sponsors to the ASO to all sorts of organizations helping out. Like, I have a guy from the ASO who goes in advance to each hotel and he checks it to see if it's okay. And he'll call me and say, just a heads up, the ingredients aren't looking very good. So you need to source something else. So
how helpful is that?
It's so good. Like, it's really, everything is efficient. Like, the Tour de France is very well organized.
How's the Vuelta?
Vuelta's great as well. I mean, last year we had great success with Magnus winning three stages and we didn't have the strongest year that year. So it was really nice to finish so strongly. And Spain is also a majestic country. You know, it's absolutely vast with, you know, the whole middle of Spain is very sparsely populated. So you go through some amazing places. Again, beautiful people, you know, great produce. Yeah, wonderful.
So you want to give us any predictions for the team this year?
I mean,
what are your spidey senses saying?
I don't want to go through particular riders too much because kind of, yeah, maybe let them, you know, show the results. But I think we will have a strong Tour de France with the lineup. I think I for sure we'll be on the podium and, you know, a stage win or two will be most likely. That will probably dictate how the Vuelta goes. So that's difficult to predict. But I also think the Giro, maybe Stefan in the two time trials in the Giro should go well. And hopefully, there's a lot less illness this year, hopefully. So, you know, you could easily see Carapaz winning, podiuming a week-long stage race, maybe the first few, Dauphiné or Romandy or, you know, Catalunya. And then we got a really good classics team as well. So it'd be great to get a win there. We haven't been that successful recently in the classics. So, yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Well, I know you have a very busy schedule this week, and we appreciate all of the time that you've given us on this show. If you're listening at home, don't forget, if you're looking to optimize your cycling game, at Team EF Coaching, we want to be a part of that. We want to teach you all of these amazing things that we learn from the pro cycling team and help you build all of the different components of your cycling abilities so that you can participate to the best of your ability in the sport of cycling. Owen, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was awesome.
You're very welcome, Zach. And if there's any questions people have, I mean, email in and I'm happy to answer them. Put recipes up.
What's your Instagram?
At the Biking Baker.
At the Biking Baker.
Yeah.
You got it.
So yeah, happy to contribute anything more.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Cheers, man.